Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday evening, February the 16th, 2014.
Well, we have an opportunity to remember the Lord tonight, the Lord's table, and some testimonies, but I try to focus some music on the what Christ did for us. And the first song, What Can Wash Away My Sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Why don't you stand with me as we begin tonight?
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow.
It's fine. All right, we'll ask the men to come at this time. And we thank the Lord for the opportunity we have to give. Begin to think about various ministry things as we're looking forward this year. There's special needs, I know, that we ongoing needs we have in terms of missions, particularly as we're thinking about some of the people that were at conference and areas where we'd like to really extend and be able to help in those areas. And I know that we've got at least a trip to, coming up very soon to Norway, and I'm trying to think, Aaron, that's you, and Drew, and Emily Gladfelter, and then we have a group that are going to be doing going back to Hungary and being involved with that, and I think that Mark Turner is looking at partnering again with the Glads and taking a trip to India and beginning to see what kind of opportunity we might have in India and everything. And so, you know, you begin to look at those things, and I know this is the, you know, we're in the winter and we're not necessarily thinking about those things, but there's some great opportunities that way. And then I know that we took a trip to the Dominican, and we see some opportunities there. So I guess what I'm saying is lots of opportunities, and I think, Fred, you leave when? Tomorrow, and you're going to be with the Barkevines and some of the others for a couple of weeks. So we pray particularly for you as you go. So lots of opportunities. So just letting you know, okay? Father in heaven, for the opportunities you put in front of us, we thank you. And we think about what we have that we can do and how we can invest in ministry for you. Please help us to have generous hearts, Father, and willing hearts, Father, to do those things. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Thanks, Tina. Great is thy faithfulness. Taught you a song last week. We took My Hope is Built on Nothing Less and joined it with a new chorus that I taught you last week. I'm going to start with that and then finish right before the Lord's table with All That Thrills My Soul is Jesus. My hope is built on nothing less. As well. Judy Summers is going to come and share with us tonight before the Lord's table. How beautiful.
The sons of the earth, how beautiful. and bore them instead. How beautiful the tender eyes that choose to forgive and never despise. How beautiful. How beautiful. How beautiful is the body of Christ. And as he
good evening. Psalm 22:22 says, "I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you." That's why we're here tonight. For those of you that don't know us, I'm Austin Woody. This is my wife, Olga. And Pastor had asked us if we would just take a few minutes and share a little bit of our testimony to those we haven't had the opportunity to do that with yet. So I'm going to let my wife go first, and then I'll share a little bit about my testimony and our life together.
Hello, good afternoon to all of you. As my husband said, my name is Olga. I'm from Nicaragua, and it's a privilege to be here. I know that some of you doesn't know us, but we are working with Pastor Miguel and Miss Lucy, Pastora Lucy, together as a ministry, as a Hispanic ministry, and it's our privilege, it's our joy to be serving the Lord and serving our brothers and sisters too. This is a surprise for me. I was not prepared too much about sharing my testimony. There are a lot of things that, you know, God have done in my life. Some of the things that have had a big impact is this testimony. I'm gonna title. Newborn spiritually and physically. Why I said that? I accepted the Lord in July 29, 2000. It was for me, it's a long story, but I wanna try my mind, my brain to do it. Sure. I married my first time when I was 18 years old, and in the beginning of our marriage, we start having some problems. Like you can imagine, I was young, and a lot of things were happening. So I was trying to look for the Lord, but it was really hard for me by myself. And I was curious about the Bible for a lot of verses, you know, that I didn't have anybody to explain me what every verse that I was curious was about. So I saw one day a guy that was inviting some people around my neighborhood, and I was interested about what he was doing. But I said in my mind, I think I'm going to call him because I have seen him like 3 Saturdays, and I don't know what he's doing. So I called him, and he came, and I asked him, what are you doing here? And he said, well, I'm inviting people to a Bible study. And he said, I haven't been here because I don't know if your mom is here or someone, because I think at that time I looked so young. And I said, no, I'm Mary. And he said, really? Mary? Okay. Is your husband here? And I said, yes. Can you call him? So I called my husband, and he invited us to go to the Bible study. We went that night to the Bible study, and we both came to know to the Lord, and that was a big blessing. The same night, we went to another place. There were a lot of foreigners that were having some services in my neighborhood. So we went to that service, and I received healing that night. I had a chronic UTI, urine tract infection, and God healed me that night. 2 days later, they were having a medical clinic. So I went to that they invited us. So I went to that medical clinic, and while I was there, someone invited me to read the Bible, a portion in Act. They were talking about the Lord's Supper, exactly what we're going to do today. So, but when I start reading, someone shot me on my back, and I fell, and some people start saying, she had a demons possessed, and I couldn't talk, and I fell on the floor, on the ground, and they start praying for me. But someone saw on the chair. Yeah, they saw some blood, and they saw some blood on my back. So they say, no, she doesn't have demons possessed. She has someone shot her, and he went to find help. But the medical team were coming while I was on the floor. They lift me up, and they put me on the table, and they said, we have to do a surgery immediately. But I don't know if someone of you have been shot before, but it's like having a big head. It's like you feel something heavy,
big weight on you,
and you feel that you're not able to do anything. Just can talk, and I was breathing normally, but the impact probably made me feel that I was not able to talk and say anything. But I hear everybody saying, she have to have a surgery or she's gonna die, and she's bleeding. And I was like, no, no, I'm okay. I was saying my mind, but no one was listening what I was saying. And I said, no, don't do nothing. But they put me on the table, and they start putting anesthesia around my back, and they were about to cut me. And I immediately, I don't know, from a strength from God, I just felt a strength, and I said, no, and I stand up, and I said, no, don't touch me, I don't have anything. And they said, no, no. They started holding me, and they said, no, we have to do a surgery, we have to do something. And so, but I said, no, 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 I'm okay. So they didn't find anything, they didn't find any bullet, they didn't open my back, and I'm here. So that's what I'm saying. It's a new life. It's a newborn for me, spiritually and physically. And a lot of things more that I would like to share, but I just have 7 minutes. So thank you very much for listening. And it's a privilege to be here.
It's hard to follow that. Since that time, just to give you a little bit of background, just about a year and a half later, Olga's first husband passed away, surprisingly. He worked in a factory. They think it had something to do with the chemicals that they used in the factory, some kind of allergic reaction. So she was left with, it was a little bit longer than that. Andrea was 17 months old, so it was about 2 years after that. So she was left a widow with a 17-month-old daughter, but her faith, as she would tell you, is what carried her through for almost 8 years. Is that right? Just to give you a little bit of background on me, I came to know the Lord very young, at 6 years old, grew up in church. My family is a Christian family, so I have a lot to be thankful for there. I think there's good and bad to doing that, to making a decision as early as that. For me, I felt like I was missing out on a lot as a Christian young person. So I tried for a time the things of the world and did a lot of things that I regret, but God never gives up on us. And I guess where I'll start the story is I'd been working several years in the workforce, a good job, lots of success. And I was at a trade show in Las Vegas, and some gentlemen, it's one of the largest trade shows for construction in the world, and some gentlemen came up from a Spanish-speaking country, and they were looking at some equipment, and nobody was there. Our people that spoke Spanish weren't in the booth. So we were trying to communicate with them with not a lot of success. So I went back to the hotel and I said, you know what, it'd be a good time for me to start learning a language. And I really didn't know where that desire came from, because I don't think that's the normal reaction just from not being able to communicate with somebody. So I bought a program online, started studying with Rosetta Stone. A year later, went to Costa Rica on my first ever mission trip. Again, growing up in a church and in a Christian family, I'd always had a fear of getting involved in missions. So I just knew God was going to call me to some faraway place and away from everything I know and enjoy. But I went to Costa Rica on a mission trip, and it was totally different than I expected. And throughout the week, I was able to use more and more of the little bit of Spanish that I spoke at the time. The last day of the trip, they said, we're short on interpreters today. Austin, we need you to help us out. We think you're ready to take a group. So I was thinking, wow, I don't think so. But I did a lot of praying in those few minutes. We went to a very rural village in Costa Rica. And with me and my group, we were able to lead three people to the Lord that day. And it was just a sign for me of what God had to come. And since that time, I'll try to make this short, went back to the church I was attending. The mission pastor immediately started talking to me about Nicaragua once he heard the story. They were going to some other Spanish-speaking countries that year, so I was like, why is he so caught up on Nicaragua? And I wasn't sure if I wanted to go or if God wanted me to go, but after praying for a long time, received affirmation that I was supposed to go. Well, I probably don't have to tell you guys, and that 7-day trip is when Olga and I got to know each other. She was an interpreter for the group, and the gentleman that I went with, the mission pastor, was one of the people that she had met the same night that she accepted Christ. So it was neat to be able to hear about her story, but most importantly, just be able to start working together. As a group, of course, we didn't have anything more than that in mind. But by the end of the week, we certainly felt like God was had more in store for us. So a year and a half later, fast forward, we were married after a long-distance relationship and a lot of legal nightmares, if you will. Besides what it takes to get here to the U.S., just a lot of things to work out in Nicaragua. God worked it all out. There were her deceased husband's death certificate was in the wrong name. His birth certificate was in the wrong name. We were told it could take 7-8 years to work that out. God did it in 6 months. So we have just confirmation after confirmation that God has bigger things, had and has bigger things in store for us. So since we've been back here in the States, one of our friends in Christ came up to us and said, feel like I should start a Bible study in Spanish. And we were like, ah, well, we've not even thought about that. We've been married a few months. Olga's already pregnant. We've got a lot on our plate. But we did. We started a Bible study. We started visiting, inviting people in the community, and saw several people come to know Christ. We're able to build the Bible study up to anywhere from 5 to 15 people on Monday nights, and did that for about a year and a half. And through my work, I met Fred Bennett here at the church one day, and he was telling me about the Spanish ministry here. And he just told me all the good things about it, about Miguel and Luce and the ministry. And we said, well, we're not really looking for a church, but we'll go visit. And so we did. And again, God had other things in mind. And that's what brought us here to Grace, to be involved with the Spanish ministry. And we've just been excited to see all the things that God's doing here. It's a lot of work with a small ministry, but we truly do enjoy it. And I think that only can happen when you know that God has you here. So we're just so thankful to be here with you guys and appreciate the opportunity to share our testimony with you. Thank you.
Can you say wow? That's something. Just what how the Lord works and works in different ways, ways we don't begin to understand and we don't begin to see. That is just really fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And I'm just sorry we cut you off at 7 minutes, because there was more that we needed to hear about the courtship and things like that. And so, well, let's, as we think of this, the Lord's table, as I've said numbers of times, this is the Lord's table. And if you're here and you know the Lord, we encourage you to participate with us in His table. This Lord's table, of course, begins with the bread. Tony Hernandez, would you give thanks for the bread, please?
I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. The scripture says that after the same manner also he took the cup. Bill Fortner, will you pray for the cup, please? the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." We're going to take a benevolence offering, and it's quite interesting. I was sitting here thinking about some of the opportunities we've had to talk to folks, and that's been our opportunity to be able to minister to them. We had a fellow that has done a lot of work for us. I suppose I've known him for probably 30, 35 years. Been a roofer pretty much all his life, and has gotten to a place physically where he could no longer do it, and decided he'd start trying to drive a truck, and he couldn't necessarily find the job and so forth, and he was really, you know, not doing very well and everything. And so we had a chance really to talk to him and to help him a little bit, and he said he decided it wasn't it wasn't what he knew but who he knew. And I don't know why he decided to come talk to me, but I talked to him, had a chance to pray with him and encourage him and help him a little bit in your name. And we're going to follow up with him to try and minister to him and everything. The guy's been a fabulous worker all of those years and all. I tell you that just so that you understand that that when we give a benevolence offering, we're investing in people. And that's why we do it, and that's why we take the time to do it and everything. And so, Lord bless you as you give a generous offering. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. It's always good when you're able to go into the auditorium and get volunteers to help you on things. We had John's dad's funeral yesterday, and you know, how do you sum up 99 years of life? And you think about all the ministry, all the opportunities, things that he had opportunity to do, and the Lord used him in special ways. And so, John, take a few minutes and tell us a little bit about your dad, and you know, and we'll be kind to you.
How do you do that in 5 minutes? But my dad was a builder all of his life. He was born in South Tunnel, Tennessee. If you know where that is, raise your hand. How about Buck Lodge or Buck Snort? Oh, no. Close to Gallatin, for those that know where Gallatin is, so up near Nashville area. And mother died when he was about 18 months old, so he was passed from aunt and uncle and grandma. And anyway, one of his grandmothers, I think, is the one that led him to the Lord, but which he's always been thankful for, that he at least got a start that way. If they were going to Indiana, some of them got work there, he would go to Indiana, stay a while there, and those that were coming back to Tennessee, he'd come back to Tennessee. But he got a job as a carpenter, and that's how he started his trade, and then went into the building business and became a general superintendent of a company. They built Indiana Bell Telephone, buildings for Eli Lilly, Clues Hall, where the Indianapolis Symphony plays all the time. And as a result of that, got an opportunity then to build the dining hall at Bob Jones, which I was able to eat in several times, met Mary there, so it was worthwhile. He also, he never stopped thinking. He would just think of ways to do stuff, so he designed this little cabin in they got a hold of that, and he put those cabins up at the Wilds. They called them birdhouses, and for years they used those birdhouses. That was one of my dad's designs, and he just did unique stuff like that. But he all these years he had this burden, so he built a camp called Camp Berean. That's where I saved, actually, and many of you from Indiana know where that's at. And thousands of young people. He became a Yankees fan because several of the Yankees got involved and started coming and visiting and speaking at the camp and giving money to the camp. And, you know, Eli Lilly then started giving money to the camp. If you can believe that about Eli Lilly, you can. But he had also a real burden for missions and started praying years ago for a guy that went to Togo and prayed for him for 50 years. And when B and Harry went to Togo, he was so excited to start add them to his prayer list for the country of Togo. And he just had this, you know, vision all the time for doing something for the Lord. And it reminded me, you watch that program, What Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Is that what it's called? He had an eighth grade education, yet he built some of the largest buildings in Indiana. And, you know, just always would say, I did that because God allowed me to do that. And other interesting things that he did, you know, that God allowed him to do, and he just kept telling me over and over and over, never stop what you're doing, never quit, never quit, never quit. And he never quit. I mean, till he was virtually unable to function. He loved wood. So he told me, and I shared this yesterday, that when he would get to heaven, Mom would ask him what took him so long, and he would just say, John just kept bringing me boards. And he made probably 300 or 400 clocks. Some of you have those. And he would give one to every missionary that came home on furlough that would come by the mission. He would give them a clock that he had made. Several of the widows here in the church, he made clocks for them, and just... It just was, you know, it wasn't the easiest 9 years that he's been here, but it was still a blessing. And in the, even in the end, he was quoting scriptures all the time. And he did ask Doc to ask God to take him home. You know, he just was ready. And when you're ready, you're just ready. And so he was ready. And so we're thrilled that he got to go. He just in heaven before us. That's all it is. He got there a little ahead of us, and we hope to see him there. We know we'll see him there. We won't hope to. We know we're going to see him there. So I just wanted to share that with you.
Thank you, John. Thank you. That's something. His dad's one of a kind, but actually not one of a kind. But there's a whole generation of them that have kind of passed from our perspective. This week, I finished reading a book called That Man Barnhouse. And I've always been interested in the ministry of Donald Gray Barnhouse, 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, and so I've got it if someone wants to borrow it. Boy, what an amazing, amazing ministry. And then you begin to, as you're reading through the book, you're seeing he talks about Cameron Townsend and the Wycliffe Bible translators, and he talks about these various other ministries that he had a chance to touch or were touched him all through those years. And you begin to realize that there was a whole group of people who really, they were a great generation. And if not the greatest generation in terms of ministry and service and what they wanted to do for the Lord and everything. And when I was at the funeral, I just sort of challenged the whole crowd. You know, that generation may have gone to be with the Lord, but we're still here. And we still have opportunities to serve Him. Well, have a great week, okay? Have a wonderful week, and we pray particularly this month. We're really going into a new stretch with Awana, with the Grand Prix and some quizzing and a variety of different kinds of things. We've got some great opportunities to work with a lot of young people, so we pray particularly about that. And, of course, you're going to Israel in 2 weeks, and I think we're probably 2 months. It's not too late to get involved with us. We'll probably go back to Angola and to the prison. And if you go with this once, it'll be hard not to go again. Lord bless you. Have a great evening.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.